All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another Sunday morning. I think this morning, my daughter came to wake me up. Actually, I've been awake by that time. And when she woke me up this morning, I was just like, man, is it Monday? Do I have to go to work today? Oh man, I have to quickly see what my schedule is like for today. Then I just remember that, hang on, it's Sunday. So it's a good thing that I have someone who can remind me that it's a Sunday in the morning. If not, I'll just dressed up and being on my way to work. Then I'll get to work and it'll be like, everywhere will be locked. Then someone will be calling me from church. Pastor Benson, where are you? Where are you? We're at church. I'm like, what are you guys doing at church on a Monday morning? Then I'd have to give Rich a call and say, Rich, are you around? Can you take the service this morning, Rich? Can you preach, please? Then Rich will take the service for us. Anyway, good morning. It's great to be here again. So I'm just going to carry on with the series that we're looking at, that we've been looking at for the past two Sundays. And it's called The New Creation Experience. The New Creation Experience. And what we're doing is we're going through the foundational teachings of Christ. So the first time we looked at what it means to be really born again. Last week we looked at this question. What do I do next once I've become born again? What is the next? Where do I go from here? So we looked at a number of examples in the Bible where we try to establish that, look, when you become born again, there's a lifestyle that God expects from us. And that lifestyle is not necessarily a good or, it's not like a do this or don't do that lifestyle. What I highlighted the most is that when we become Christians, when we become believers, God expects us to live in a community. He expects us to view one another as family members, even though we're not related by blood. So it's not the case where you become a Christian and you're like, look, I don't really need anyone. I can do this life by myself. Maybe once in a while I will pop over to church on a Sunday, but apart from that, count me out. I'm just going to go solo. And we looked at that extensively and we said, look, in this world that we're in now, God expects us to live as a family. That's really the only way that we'll be able to enjoy the fullness of our Christian faith. So that we're not doing this life alone. So we looked at all those things last couple of weeks. Today, I'm going to be looking at something different. Still looking at this new creation experience teaching that we're looking at. And I've called it, that was what I called it the day before. I said I've called it something else this morning. So this morning, we're looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Now, in the Christian world, there's a lot of people have differing opinions about what I'm going to be talking about today. Some people will say, oh, what's the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You don't really need that. That was in the days of the apostle. What is this speaking in tongues business? I mean, that's something that has ceased. So there are loads of people that have loads of different opinions. Some of these folks, most of these folks are well-meaning Christians. They're born again, they're believers, they love God the same way everybody loves God. But it just appears that there's a bit of a disparity in terms of the belief around this baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues thing, I'll call it. And for me, it's a particularly interesting topic because before I became a Christian, before I became born again, at my university then, we had this group of Christians who were Pentecostals. And I had a friend then who was a Christian as well. And he would call me, he would say, look, why don't you come over to our meeting? They used to have meetings in the evenings, I think Fridays or something. And he would say, oh, why don't you come over to our meeting, you know, at least see what we do and all that. And one thing that really put me off then was, I was like, man, there's no way I'm going to go to your meeting where you guys just do this speaking in tongues thing. In fact, I'm not even quite sure it's genuine. I think you guys are, I didn't tell him all this, by the way. I didn't want to be an offensive friend. I'll just gently decline and say, sorry, count me out. I'm not with that, please. But in my mind, it was like, man, this is like weird. You go to this meeting and people are praying in this language you don't understand. It's like, man, I'm not quite sure I want to be part of this. So I just kept away from all that. Then I became born again. I remember that day. That was in 1996. I remember clearly. I became born again. I went to this Pentecostal church then as well. Then, I mean, they spoke in tongues as well. But I was still like, okay, yeah, now that I'm a Christian, but, you know, I just want to be this cool guy. I'm not into all that stuff. I just want to keep it mellow. I don't want to be overly, you know, extremist and all that. So yeah, I can come to church. I'll sing all the nice songs, but when it comes to this speaking in tongues business, you know, let me just step back a bit. Then one day, 4 weeks later, we had this meeting. They were like, oh, now that you're a Christian, we'll take you through like the fundamentals of the Christian faith. So I attended this classes. We'd have it for about an hour after the meeting, after the service in those days. And on the fourth lesson, or the fourth class, they now said, okay, we're talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And the gentleman that was teaching, he taught about it and all that. He now said, now what we're going to do is we're all going to rise and we're going to pray that you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues. And I was like, man, why did I come to this class today of all days? I could have just skipped this class, but I couldn't leave because it would have been too obvious. Then I said, okay, you guys, don't worry. Just, you know, start, just ask God. And before I knew it, I was speaking in tongues. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was so shocked that after that experience, while I was driving home, I was still praying in tongues. And I was like, this is interesting because I wasn't making it up. So that was my experience with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because, irrespective of what views we have, or irrespective of what views anyone has, everyone's entitled to their opinion, in my view. People are entitled to what they want to believe, and that's all right. However, if we're going to really experience God the way God wants us to experience Him, then we need to base our opinions on what the Bible says, irrespective of how we feel about it, irrespective of how any other person feels, irrespective of whatever argument anyone puts out there. My view is we must look at what the Bible says, and any other thing apart from that, we will just put it aside. All right? So I had to put aside my own views as well at that point. Not because I experienced it necessarily. Even if I hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit that day and I didn't speak in tongues, I would still come back to this opinion, well, this premise that this is what the Bible says, irrespective of if I'm experiencing it or not, even though I did then. Do you understand? All right, so we're going to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues this morning. I have a number of points to make. I'll try and finish them today, but if I can't, because of time, then we will carry on another time. So the first thing I want to mention here is from the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'll read it here. It says, Jesus said something to his disciples after he had been resurrected. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the first point I'm making this morning is that Jesus had resurrected from the dead. He had seen his disciples. His disciples were born again, going to heaven. They were cool. But he said something to them. He said, there is something else that you guys need to experience to live the fullness of your Christian faith. Now, but in saying that, I'm going to be very clear about something here. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues, you're still good. I'm still good. Now, what I'm going to say, and I want to make sure I make this point very clearly so that we don't misunderstand this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. I would liken it to being water baptized. And when I say I'm going to liken this to be, like water baptized, you know that whether you're water baptized or not, once you're born again, you are a full Christian, you're not half a Christian, and you're going to heaven straight away. Now, the reason I say that is that when Jesus was on the cross, and I'm making a point here, when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says there was a thief beside him on the left and there was one on the right. And just before Jesus died on the cross, one of the thieves said to him, please remember me when you in your heaven. When long conversation. The thief became instant, he was instantly saved at that point on the cross. And Jesus said something to him. Jesus said to that thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, I'm making this point because this thief was not water baptized. Jesus didn't say, hang on, you can't make it to heaven. He didn't call the guards and say, can you let me down from this cross, please, and this thief? Can I just quickly baptize him in the water of in the Sea of Galilee? Then I'll come back and I'll continue where I left off. Jesus didn't say that, but Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. So the premise there is this. You don't have to be water baptized to make it to heaven. Now, also, baptism of the Holy Spirit. The thief on the cross was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't say, you're not a full Christian. Can you please wait, and be baptized in the Holy Spirit? The thief had neither of those experiences, but he still made heaven. In fact, I think some people were a bit jealous, like, man, after all this guy has done, and he's just like a free ticket, that's. Jesus, that's not really fair. You know what I mean? Now, the point I'm making is this. Before I begin to go through the things I want to go through this morning, is that we are absolutely clear that this experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not a prerequisite to being a proper Christian, if I can use that word, or to heaven. So are we good on that? Now, the reason I'm saying this, I'm being so emphatic about this, is I've come across people who are like, oh man, I'm finished. I'm not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh. So I want us to be really clear. All right? So Jesus tells these folks in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you'll be witnesses to me. So Jesus was making a point about the baptism of the Holy Spirit here. He was saying that, look, there is something else that you can, there is another experience that you can have that is yours automatically if you want it. It's always available if you want it. And when you have this experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it does something to you, spiritually speaking. And that thing that it does for you spiritually, amongst other things, is that it gives you power. It gives you strength. I remember when I was much younger, you guys might not really know this cartoon. And if you look at me blank, I'll know, you'll give me an idea of when you were born. And if you don't look at me blank and your eyes light up, then I'll know how old you are. Either way, I will catch you out. There's this cartoon that I used to watch, which I loved so much. I must have been like, I don't know, 4 or 5. And the cartoon was called Popeye the Sailor Man. And he used to sing, you see the people that are laughing, they know who Popeye the Sailor Man is. And this Popeye guy, he'll be like, he'd like have people coming to like fight with him and all that. And he had this thing that he used to eat called spinach. You guys do know what spinach is. You love it, I'm sure. You have it for your lunch and dinner to give you. And this guy would open the spinach and you'd have like thousands of people coming to, you know, face Popeye, and he would have his spinach and the thing would just, you know, go into, and his arms will pop out and he will just like pulverize everyone that was, you know, coming against him. The Holy Spirit, now, this is not being disrespectful. I'm not comparing the Holy Spirit to Popeye. I'm just using an analogy here. That there's certain things that you can do in your strength from a Christian perspective. But there's certain things that if you had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it would strengthen you on another level. There's so many things that we get when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we will look at the Holy Spirit in a lot of detail next month. So Jesus says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power for a lot of things. Do you know that this Christian walk that we are engaged in is a highly spiritual walk? It is so spiritual. But there are times that we might just think, well, it's not really a big deal. You know, what's it about the Christian faith? We'll sing some nice songs. If Pastor Benson is the one leading on the guitar, fantastic. And, you know, we'll have like biscuits and tea after the service. I mean, this is like jolly, jolly. And it is jolly, jolly. However, there's another aspect to this life, and it is a supernatural aspect. But we'll look at that in more detail another time. So Jesus said that they will receive power. Then you begin to wonder, what does this power do to us? Loads of things. Loads of things. But there is one thing that it does to us. It changes something in us that makes us more confident in our walk with God. You know, there are times that you wake up in the morning and you're just exhausted. There are times that you don't even want to do anything at all. Talking about reading your Bible, forget it. Talking about praying, forget it. And you're just exhausted. At that point in time, what you need is power. What you need is power. Power to live your life in such a way that you're not stressed out. And if you're stressed out, that power can rejuvenate you. That power gives you boldness and loads of other things. So this morning, I'm going to look at the life of a very interesting gentleman in the Bible, Peter, the apostle. Peter the apostle. And I'm going to do a before and after view of Peter. And we'll see what the difference was in terms of, what was the difference between Peter before? You're like, before what? I'll tell you in a minute. Before and after. So let's look at Peter before. So this is the second point that I want to look at. The life of Peter before and after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So this was Peter's life before. I'll pick an incident from the Bible here. Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. This tells the story of where Peter denied Jesus. And I'll just read briefly. It says, and they seized him and led him away, bringing him to the high priest's house. They seized Jesus. And they led him to the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down, Peter sat down with them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, and said, this man was also with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, certainly this man was also with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And he remembered the saying of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. So we see a scenario here where Jesus told his disciples, guys, I'm going to be crucified. They didn't really understand what he was talking about at that point. They just thought, what's Jesus talking about? Peter now goes to Jesus and he tells Jesus, he says, look, you see all those guys here, they might deny you, but I've got your back 100%. I have got your back 100%. It's like pretty much if I told you, you know, all of you here that, look, it's 10 past 11 and I got a death threat message this morning that at 11:15, if I am here, that a group of armed, masked terrorist guys are going to invade this place and are going to arrest me. Do you understand? You guys would be like, oh, come on, Pastor Benson, you're just kidding, you know, and all that. Come on, this is just, I mean, this is sunny, nice Bristol. Everybody's happy. Then suddenly at 11:15, behold, by the way, this isn't going to happen. I'm just, I don't want people looking at the door. I say, hang on, should I be by the door now? Or should I be like where I can escape? 11:15, these men, like four men come in, masked with AK-47s, and they've barricaded the whole street. There are like 50 of them outside and four of them come into this place and say, hang on, everybody. We are here just for Pastor Benson. Don't make any trouble. Just step aside. Anyone that makes any trouble, you're going to meet that Jesus that you've talked about so much today. Just step aside. What would you guys do? I'm sure you guys would be like, what? Pastor Benson, you'd have to take me first. Are you guys laughing? Isn't that what you guys would do? Sorry, am I missing something here? No, I know that Prince will be like, anything that happens here, you know, I'm going to be here right by your side. Pastor Benson, we're going down together. All right? Then suddenly, these guys come in and nobody's anywhere to be found. It's like, Pastor Benson, we love you, but my mom's waiting for me at home. Then this guy, everybody runs away. Then Prince, sorry, I'm going to use you as an example today, but I know that you've got my back. Then Prince is at Lidl. Then after the whole incident, everybody has run away. Then Prince is at Lidl, just down the road there. And he's about to buy, sorry, I'm laughing so much. He's about to buy ice cream to cool down from all the pressure. And he's at the cashier. And the cashier says, hang on, Prince, I recognize you. You go to that church down the road. Then Prince goes, what? Never. I've never even heard about that church before. What are you talking about? He now leaves. He now goes to the next shop, to the place there, because he has to get, like, rice and stuff for dinner. Someone else now goes, hang on, I recognize you. In fact, I've seen you at Pastor Benson's house. And he goes, never. Who is Pastor Benson? That's what Peter did. And after that, Peter was so disappointed. He was like, man, how could I have let Jesus down so much? So he had good intentions. And in his mind, he thought that he would go down with Jesus, like no matter what. But he found himself in this place where he not only ran away, but he vehemently, violently denied that he ever knew Christ. Now, Jesus now tells them, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. And they didn't quite understand what that meant. Something happens in Acts chapter 2. They receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in other tongues. Now, let's look at Peter after this experience. And I'll look at, I'm reading from Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I'll read, is actually verses 1 to 22, but I'm not going to read that whole text. I'm going to read Acts chapter 4, 18 to 22. And it says that, then they called them again and commanded them not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help about speaking what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because the people were praising God for what had happened. So we now see Peter here where he's called by the council of elders in Jerusalem. These are the same people who organized the execution of Jesus. These were the same people that sent soldiers to arrest Jesus. And they put Peter and John before them and they threatened them and they said, look, if you preach about Jesus, we're going to punish you. In fact, we will kill you the same way we killed Jesus. They didn't say that in the text. I'm just... So, and this is the same Peter that a little cashier girl in a corner in the dark said, I recognize you, and he denied. Now he's in public. He's in Bristol town center. That everybody, all the crowd, they're there. And they say, okay, recant, Prince. Sorry, Prince, I'm just going to... They put Prince in the center there. And they say, recant. If we catch you talking about Jesus in this Bristol, we will imprison you. We will deport you to Guantanamo Bay. We'll put you in that yellow jumper that they were in that place. Without trial. And Peter responds and he says, well, you guys can say whatever it is you want to say, but as far as I'm concerned, nothing you say, no threat, will make me stop to preach. In fact, preach about this Jesus. And you're now wondering, what happened here? What's the difference? How did this man, who was petrified by a little girl in a corner saying that you're a Christian, and now he's standing before the very people who had the power to organize his execution, and he looked at them eyeball to eyeball and he said, I will not succumb. I will preach. I will preach. I'm going to make the third point, then we'll pray. The other bit I will look at another time. So the third point is this. This is what happened to Peter and the other disciples. So the third point is this. The difference between Peter before and Peter after was that he had received this power. They had received this power. And I'll read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came and rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the third point we see is this. The difference between Peter before and after was that they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this power that Jesus was talking about, and it transformed them to the point where they were willing to die for their faith. So the point I'm making this morning is this. Jesus has made something available to you and I, and that thing is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's for free as well. You might be like, okay, so what do I need to do to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Nothing really. When I mean nothing, you don't have to get to a point where you're like, oh, I think I'm good now. I'm a good person. That my neighbor that annoys me and throws stuff over the fence that I feel like punching their face, but I don't. I think once I've gotten over that, then I'll be good enough for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not at all. Not at all. The only thing that one needs for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one, that you're born again, which I believe that we all are. That's John 3:3. The second thing is this, Luke chapter 11, verse 13. It says, if you then, though you are evil, this is Jesus speaking, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So the way you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, from what I've just read here in Luke chapter 11, 13, is by asking. You ask. And the last thing is this. When you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's something that you have to do to speak in tongues. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. So you ask, and as you ask, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit straight away, whether you feel it or not. Then you now have to speak. And as you speak, God will put the words in your mouth. It might be a phrase, it might be a sentence, it might be a word, but you are the one that speaks, all right? And that's it. That is it. Nothing more complicated. Nothing more complicated. So this morning I'm going to stop there and we'll pray. So we've looked at the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Next month we'll look at other things about the Holy Spirit there, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And well, we'll look at that next month. But today I'm focusing on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we've looked at 3 points today. We said, Jesus said to his disciples that they will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Secondly, we looked at the life of Peter, who swore that he would never deny Jesus, but he still did because he just couldn't handle it. And the third point we looked at was, what was the difference between Peter before and Peter after? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to us today, actually. So I'm going to ask that we all rise this morning. And what I would just like us to do is very simple, because I'm a very practical guy. I'm not just going to theorize. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today, I've said it's very simple. All you have to do is ask. Do you get what I mean? Like, just ask. And believe that God will baptize you. When he does, straight away, just start speaking in tongues. Do you understand? Just start speaking in tongues. So I will speak in tongues as well, because I do. I will pray for us, then I'll just speak in tongues. But if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just ask and speak. All right? Okay, I'll pray, then we'll just ask God. Our Father and our King, we thank you for the way you love us so much that you have even given us the ability, the strength, to live our Christian walk supernaturally by the power in the Holy Spirit. Father, I'm praying for everyone here that has heard what I've spoken about today, the simplicity of your word, the fact that this is not a complicated matter at all. Lord, I'm asking that even as they pray for those who desire the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, baptize them in the Holy Spirit today. Baptize them in the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking that you give them utterance to speak in tongues as well, in Jesus' name. So I'll just leave you guys to pray and just ask that God will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and I'll begin to speak. Father, we thank you. Mambo sibrana boseke. Lebra nara boseke mana boseke. Manda bosibrakana boseke. Father, baptize everyone that so desires this morning. Let them experience the power, O God, of the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is just ask, and He will fill us with the Holy Spirit. But you have to do the speaking. Even if it seems like, look, what am I saying? Am I going to be making it up? It doesn't really matter. That's where it starts from. Just let the Holy Spirit just flow through, give you the words, but you have to do the speaking. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Libro nakabo shibrana boseke. Father, we magnify your holy name. Father, we thank you.